No, you're all good, man. Fuck, I'm not used to this shit either.
So I won't need this.
I'm just a builder, bro. I'm just fucking trying to do some promotion.
Hey guys, David here. Catching up today with Mahir. He's an ex quantity surveyor at Fletcher's, one of the biggest companies in New Zealand. We thought it would be really beneficial and really worthwhile sitting down with him, having a chinwag. We talked everything, processes, systems, how we got into QSing, the shortage of QSs in New Zealand. Take a listen to this one. Hopefully it's relevant. He wasn't able to give too much rates discussions away, but as we all know, RapidQS provides all the rates on our social media. So take a listen. Let me know what you think. Just, I like love, obviously you see what our page is mainly directed at.
Yeah.
And it's kind of directed at, you know, the 1 to 4 man building crew.
Yeah.
They're not getting enough of like the main contract work.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of like bigger housing company stuff. And it'll just be interesting to see, you know, how they can improve maybe getting better rates or having a better win rate at getting those bigger jobs with those kind of companies. So senior, okay. Junior, what can I say?
So it's weird. So like technically I'm like a graduate QS.
Okay, cool.
But I'm lead QS on the project I'm on.
Buzzy, how that works.
So they pretty much, whilst I was studying, they're like, oh, come work for us, blah, blah, blah.
Mean.
And then they gave me this project.
So you never really finished your training?
No, so still fully going through. At the moment, so in terms of brackets, I'm in like the QS.
Yeah.
So I'm at intermediate level actually.
Okay, cool.
In terms of their like matrix.
Yeah, nice. So where did you do your study? Were you studying in Auckland at the time?
So studying at Toyohoma in Tauranga.
So is that
Yeah.
No, go.
That's, it was like, I was trying to like work through what worked best for me, like in terms of like working and studying.
Sweet.
So I studied with Toyohomai with the intention that I could still work full time and study full time.
Yeah.
So they didn't really allow that, but I kind of just was working and then going into study whenever I needed.
Yeah.
So I was just online using the Moodle. I was supposed to be in classes, but I just used Moodle to do my study with the intention to cross credit onto Massey, Bachelor of Construction Quantity Surveying.
So is it kind of like when builders do their apprenticeship, they'll go to night classes, go to their BCRTO stuff on a Wednesday night, do all their paperwork stuff. Were you working during the day training, like doing your study in the evenings?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So pretty much like full time, initially it was like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
But in those 3 days, working for the company that I do for Fletcher Construction, I now work for BPC because once the project that I was on initially, they just kind of shift you around within the family.
Yeah, I see.
So it was more like study in the evening when I could after work.
Yeah.
And then just had 5 days worth of the work that I had to get through in like 3 days.
Yeah.
So
it's probably that initial grind phase, eh? Because I feel like when you're an apprentice, you go through the grind phase of like, you know, learning on the tools, and then you got to do your book work in the evening, or grind phase of first couple years in business, fucking running the jobs, pricing, sales at night. Like it's that probably first, 2 to 4 years where you're just kind of head down, ass up in the trenches.
Yeah, 100%.
Battling away.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Just a grunt, like that's in terms of like commercial aspect, you're a grunt for the first.
Yeah. Is that what they call you in the office too? Yeah, nice. So did your studies in Tauranga? Did you line up a job with Fletcher's before you moved out, or did you have it while you were there?
Initially the intention was that I wouldn't work.
Okay,
so cool. I moved to the Mount. I was just like, move from Auckland,
100%,
man.
Fuck, it's nice town.
Yeah. Lived in the Mount, right, like the beach was here, our house was here.
Yeah, nice.
So it was sweet as.
Yeah.
And then what happened is I was transitioning from going from working for another Fletcher company. I was working for Fletcher Steel
as an
account manager. And it was kind of like, sweet, I'm going to leave this job. I'm going to focus on study. I don't want a job.
Yeah.
And then one of my accounts at the time, he caught wind that I was leaving. And he was just like, nah, I want you to work for me, and hounded me for like months.
Yeah.
And then I finally agreed and I went to work in a little a roofing company in Matamata called
buzzing.
Prestige Roofing.
So you left the full Fletcher's thing, went away to residential roofing,
100%.
And came back.
Yeah.
Job hopping, man.
Yeah, I was like, AV, who was the director then, he's a gun at what he does. So he like was on my case, so come with me. So I did.
Mean.
I worked for him for, I think, for like about a year. Then I was just like, oh, I want to focus on study so I can just, like, my original plan.
Yeah, man.
And so I did that, and I went and focused on my study, and then kind of dissolved working for Prestige, and then went to work. I actually went to a business networking, and there was someone there from Fletcher's, and he was just like, come work for us.
Yeah, mean.
And he painted the picture.
Painted the dream for you. Was the dream sold, or was it a false dream when you got there?
I don't know if it was like a false dream. I think the wealth of how big that corporation is is like, it gave me like the skills to be the QS that I am today.
Yeah, for sure.
They pretty much, they're well-structured, well-oiled machine, and they know what they're up to.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to get into, man. So obviously, a lot of people that follow us, I was explaining before, you know, young building crews. I mean, Fletcher's is a massive fucking company. How many houses a year are they doing?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what a large amount. And obviously, they've just acquired... But well, they got a new business, like, what's it called, Clevercore?
Yeah,
which is like all building like off-site, like walls prefabs. And all that. Yeah, prefabs.
Yeah,
100%. There's a large amount of properties that they're building in terms of the residential arm.
Yeah.
We all know that Fletcher Construction itself pulled back from the commercial.
Yeah.
But they'll do like internal works or like pretty much closed tenders if they've got customers that are like, no, we only want to work with you.
Yeah.
So I started, he painted the dream, and started working on the Jib Factory.
Yeah.
That was my first
project.
Yeah.
Where was that one? Where's that Jib Factory?
So that's just out of Tauranga and Tauriko.
Ah, that's right.
And I think that was an initial $400 million investment from Fletcher Construction.
Is that the one where we had a massive shortage of jib and it was about to be finished? Or was that during?
It was like around the whole COVID issue, like, you know, like stuff was happening, short supply, all of this stuff. So
Can you give us any info on how, do you know much about that? Because that jib shit was nuts, man. Like, I was running our building business at that time.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I went and picked up 4 sheets of Aqua and it was like fucking black market South Auckland, $100 a sheet. $100 a sheet, man. No joke.
I think like the difficulty was then was like the government's restrictions on manufacturing.
Yeah.
And they like just kind of were on the fringe of what the government was allowing to happen. So they were pretty much locked, like they couldn't really
do anything.
So the stock supply that they had, obviously they didn't predict it to be the way that it was.
Mm.
I could understand why the price was pushed up like that.
So like they pretty much control the supply and demand of jib,
I think it's like 94% of the market they have, so... But that's like with the wealth of knowledge and investment that they have. Like people, all they see is like, we've got to import gypsum.
Yeah.
That's a huge cost. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Manufacturing costs like in New Zealand, they're pretty high.
Yeah.
People in New Zealand, they're entitled. They don't really want to work. So it's kind of like, it's all a raft of different things and they've just got it right.
Yeah.
Like,
I love that, man. I'm fascinated by the jib stuff because we did an import from overseas and we factored in the costs and looked at stuff. Obviously, there's a lot of risk bringing it in from overseas. You can get held up, you get delays. But yeah, knowing that they have a control over the market is pretty scary.
They need someone like that. I guess they need more like competition.
Yeah.
But I think it's just the investment, like investment, people don't want to do it.
Well, 400 million, bro. What kind of company's got that lying around? Yeah, it's a lot of money, man. I want to keep touching on like the internal management and stuff like that because that's real fascinating. So when you were working at the Jib Factory, that was your first contract or job with them. What was your role there? What were you doing day to day within that job? Like, were you just sorting out the like finding subbies quotes? Were you after a labor perspective? Like, do you work on say a zone of the project or do you just cover one aspect like just material sourcing or how does it work?
Yes, I'm unsure about the 400 million, but I think it's like 200 million that
we can cut it, bro. It's all good. This is the beauty about editing. You can just take it out. Sweet.
When I initially started there, it was kind of like, I think it was like maybe halfway through the project.
Yep.
So they pretty much were just like, you're going to do all the variations. I was doing all the variations initially.
Yeah.
And then about like a month later, they're like, here you go, manage these subcontractors and these packages. That was buzzy for me because in terms of where my study was at, it wasn't in line.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
These things are all new to me. They were just like, here you go, sweet sus. Yeah.
So you were probably dumped into a head QS role and you're like, fuck, bro, I'm just figuring out how to measure framing.
Yeah, it was pretty much like a, you're like a grunt, but there's an expectation that you've got to perform like at a higher level. So
yeah, yeah. So you were like, that stuff is all, insane. That's like heavy, like high commercial work. Did you have any, were you in the residential space at all?
No, not so much. No, not really. So I think like, at that point, because I was working solely for Fletcher Construction I wasn't in the residential space.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of like residential subcontractors that were working for this project because it was massive.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it was the project itself was huge. Like we had to get, they had so many, like I think Aquaheat, who were the main contractor for the services.
Yeah.
They had acquired all these other businesses to make sure that they could supply the job. I think Hamilton Plumbing was one of them they were acquiring for the project. So they did that. So not directly with the residential space, but understood that these subcontractors were from a residential space the way they were.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they knew and their understanding on stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think you can, I've just from my experience, I think I'm like 3 years now into being a QS. You understand the difference between a commercial subcontractor and a residential subcontractor.
Do you have any key points where you could point that out?
I think the biggest thing of like maybe not just residential subcontractors is that tradies, just from what I've seen, like they don't read documents or like they're not like, I know they're all go, they want the business to be big, all of this stuff, and that's their focus.
Yeah.
Tuning the beast and getting it going. In my position, I'm contractually bound and I read the contract, I understand
it.
One of the rules in Fletcher's is like, read the contract, reread the contract, read the contract again.
Wow.
And you're constantly just reading the contract.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're like, that's what I'm like. And for me as a QS, what I've learned, because I'm a huge relationship, I'm a relationship person, that's how I see QSs should be. There should be a balance between contractual and relationship based.
Yeah.
I'll sit with the subcontractor and I'll be like, okay, so these are the clause I'd like you to understand.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, sweet, I'll read it. But they'll read it and I'm like, do you understand it?
Yeah.
Which is a different thing.
That's huge, man.
And it's like, even with things like the schedule, it's like, is schedule of quantities or bill of quantities, however else you want to say it, is reading the schedule and understanding what's in the schedule.
Yeah, man.
Because, like, if there's, like, a schedule item that says, like, install this for us or install this provided by us, account for, like, the labour, the costs that come with that, like, your maybe, like, your establishment costs that you haven't thought about, you need to account for that. Because that's all the stuff in my head. I've already got it. Like, I know what it's going to cost.
Because you've read the contract, reread the contract, and then you've read the contract. And you understand it.
And I think for me, it's just like, if I can hear, like, certain things come out of the subcontractor's mouth, I know for a fact they've read the contract or they understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
But if they don't, I'm kind of like, I always give people chances and I'm like, sweet, you know, like,
are you happy?
Do you know this? Or like, I just want you to understand that, like, if we go forward, you've covered this.
Yeah.
And for me, I've got to be like, hey, make sure you cover this.
Yeah.
Because that's, you're bound to a contract once you sign it.
Yeah. That's huge, man. I've got so many questions on that because, like, so many smaller guys, they'll go and take these projects. They don't know how much it costs, but they've taken it. And I'm like, so dangerous. Like, you need to know the costs. So when you're like engaging with subbies, and if we can focus maybe more on the labor-only building crews, as that's our prime market, like, can you sort of pick or tell when guys are coming to submit for tenders? You're like, you know what you're talking about. You've got no clue. Can you sort of see that from the get-go?
Yeah, I kind of like, so most of the submissions will come in like, how I've done it, I don't know how like other businesses do it. So what we do is we get a schedule and there's quantities on it.
Yeah.
And my expectation is that, because there's an estimation team. So and Fletcher's is way too big. They've got an estimation team. So mainly my job is like managing cost and revenue.
Yeah.
So if there's like quantities on the schedule, it means that someone's already done the work.
Yeah.
What I want you to understand is, like, if those quantities, if you think there's more, I want you to justify why there's more. And if you can justify to me that there's more than what's on the actual schedule,
yeah,
I'm kind of like, sweet, well, this guy's looked at the drawings.
Yeah.
He's understood this,
yeah,
all of this stuff. But yeah, I pretty much can look at what the information I'm provided with from a subcontractor,
yeah,
residential or commercial, and I can be like, yeah, sweet, this dude's onto it.
Yeah,
he knows
cool.
what he's doing. Like,
yeah,
even in the emails and stuff, if he refers to like specifications and stuff like
you
that,
you know that they've read, yeah, the 160 pages of
100%.
Stuff versus they've just scrolled to the bottom, fixed price 20 grand. Yeah. Oh yeah, we can do that within.
It's just like even the contract, like, because when we send out like a tender, we'll send them a draft subcontract,
yeah,
so that they can read over that.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's like normal. I think that's what we do.
Probably at your level, yes. I'd say at the residential level, no. Like,
okay,
most guys are just signing up a contract with a homeowner, and
okay,
it's probably nowhere near the detail. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if it's over 30 grand, they've got to use a NZCB or have an official contract, but
yep,
they can just make their own contract. So that's why I'm fascinated to talk to you about it, because from a high, high level, from one of the biggest companies in New Zealand, I love looking at, you know, how are builders, you know, failing on these jobs? Because everyone says labor only, you don't really make much money. And
yep,
I'm like, you guys dictate the rates on what are given out on houses. And I feel like it's designed to fail. But, you know, have a conversation with me here on that. You guys look at the rates, you
yep
know how much long stuff should take. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like, so the company that I work for now is like a subsidiary. The thing is like, we've got like a resource of rates that we've built up.
Yeah.
Obviously, that Fletchers have a distribution.
For sure.
Where they distribute all these materials. They're not giving it to us at the rates that people think they are.
Mm-hmm.
All at the same market level.
Yeah.
Fletchers companies, they don't care that they're working in line with each other or battling each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how it works. So in terms of like rates and stuff like that, not really.
Mm.
Like if a subcontractor came to me and said, no, I actually think that this scheduled item is worth this.
Yeah.
And if they can prove to me that that's exactly what it is and what's supposed to be in that, like,
yeah,
if they account for the risk of what the job is,
yeah,
then instantly I'm kind of like, okay, sweet, you've given me something to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll go and do that as well. I'll go look into it.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily about like who's the cheapest or what they're offering. For
yeah
me, it's the skills they've got.
Yeah, I love that. I had that question there. How do you guys look at picking subcontractors? Like, obviously, they're there to make money. They've
yep
got margins. Do they just pick on price, or if there's supply and demand, if there's a supply of labor for them, cool, it's good. If there's a shortage of labor for them, will they stretch their books or offer, you know, if you have a 20K labor only contract, but a builder comes in at 26 and you've got no other tenders, are you guys forced to take that, or what, how does that work?
Not forced, but
more likely.
Yeah. I think like for me, it's been like just having the conversation.
Yeah.
Most QSs operate different, and I'm still quite fairly new in terms of like my career, from being like I'm just a QS at the moment to like senior or commercial.
Yeah.
Is having a conversation, if that's exactly 100%, because like for me, if my allowable for that item or for that contract is this amount,
yeah,
and the subby is slightly higher, I'll be like, well, I want to know why it's higher.
Yeah.
And then two, can you meet in the middle here, or can you meet
yep
me at my allowable?
So you negotiate, yep, yeah.
Because if it's just like one specific trade or one package, I'm kind of like, well, I really want to be able to be within this, because this is what I've worked it up to. Like,
yep,
how have you got to that?
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's like, so I haven't had any issues where it's just like one subcontractor hit us up, because everybody is looking to work with a big corporate like Fletchers.
Yeah, because you can get huge turnover.
Yep.
Like, your business can go from building 5 small houses a year, and you can have a crew by the end of the year and probably build 50, you
yep
know, labor only.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, if you have that relationship, like, with someone within the business,
yep,
they keep it going. Like,
yep,
no one, I think for me, it's like all the subcontractors that I've worked with so far, I keep them coming back.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's my next point is, do you know, is the company culture at Fletcher's, or like the QS team or the internal management, is it sort of like designed, and is the talk around keeping the same subbies? Because it's risky using new guys.
Yeah, I think like when you're as big as Fletcher's are, you're careful, you're very careful, or yep. like you're a risk adverse. Like
yep.
in terms of risk, you want to be, you want to cover yourself. And yep. I think in terms of taking on new subbies, like there's no difficulty.
Yeah.
I think it's just about like building a relationship.
Yeah.
Like even now we have people who are like already hitting us up just for like a discussion or conversations or wanting meetings or like popping in just to give like coffees and donuts just to foster a relationship regardless.
Yeah, yeah, it's
important. And I think that's good. Yeah. I think for me, well, with the account manager history that I've got, yeah, legit, like that, just building a relationship with me is easy. And then if it comes to the pricing point, I'll be like, hey, look, we've got this going on. Price me. Like,
yeah.
yeah, I'm more than happy to see it.
Yeah. I've always found it a bit tough when I've been through it for sure, when I was doing all the residential work and then we'd get a call from a group housing company and they'd be like, hey, are you guys interested in some houses? I'm like, cool, what are you offering? And they're like, nah, you price it. And I'm yep. like, nah, you've already priced it.
Yep.
And if I go over, you probably don't have enough money in your budget for me anyway.
Yep.
So why don't we just save the time and you just tell me your price and I'll let you know.
I don't know why people don't already do that, eh?
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I don't get it. Yeah. And especially for a small crew, it's like, fuck, when are you going to find the time to price it?
100%. I feel like it's, for me, that's why, like, when I send schedules out, like, I'll send out the quantities on the schedule.
Yeah.
And we're like, this is what we worked on. Like, yep. can you, like, give us some rates and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And some of the subbies are like, I've never seen this. Like, what are you up to? You're trying to trap me into these amounts. And I was just like, well, it's measure and value. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
here you go, like, work it out and just come back to me.
Yeah, sweet.
But, yeah, that's crazy. I don't know.
I don't like that, man.
Yeah.
I think that's it's been disrespectful to the subby. Like,
yep.
expect them to go and price something when you know full well you already know the rates. And you're not going to say yes if it's over. So it's like, yep. come on, man.
And those group home builders, like, they're equipped. They've got like the staff that are out there fielding the field, like working through like the best costs and all the best materials, all of that stuff that they can get for the rates and whatever.
Yeah.
And they're constantly working. So I'd be wondering why they're now coming to you. Like, okay, all of a sudden they're like interested to hit you up. Like, are they price checking the existing builder that they're working with,
yeah.
or like what's going on there?
Yeah, have they been building with the same guy? Can they get cheaper rates now?
Yep.
Can they increase their margins? Do you guys see from like a far back and high level of where the market's going with like new builds coming through, upcoming work, like industry stuff? Obviously, this year there's heaps of kind of discussions and topics around workload.
Yep.
We sort of see some companies have got minimal work, but are 50% on the other scale were still stacked for 2 years.
Yeah, I guess it's like so just from what I know is like there are people within the company that are constantly out there like doing the work to make sure that we've constantly got work coming in. I think if you're constantly out there like fielding for work, but also like there's the term of like either farming the relationships you have or being a hunter and gatherer.
Yeah.
Where you're doing like a mix of both.
Yeah.
You're looking after the people that you have already, but are also out there trying to foster new relationships with the Fletchers have that on lock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They know what they're up to. They're already on, they work towards being on panels for like territorial authorities.
Yeah, that's
and
smart.
Stuff like that. Like they look at larger scale government work that they know are gonna go on for like years to come and stuff like that. And so they have people that work on stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so like in the different areas throughout New Zealand, there's someone that's already working on, say, if they've got like a, I don't know, like a commercial build somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and a council is just like, oh, we're going to invest into this because we've got something from some provincial fund. They're already on top of that. They're like, sweet, what is it?
Yeah,
we'll have a look at it.
Yeah, how do we get involved? What can we do to help? Yeah,
I think like for like builders, I think there's like stuff like BTSL, BCI,
Gets is a big 100% one as well.
Like going on stuff like that. Like,
man, they don't make that stuff easy, eh? Gets. It's so like from a small crew, like I'm like, man, there's so much technical stuff in there. And you, like you said, the schedules and the tenders, like
you have to read every single spec.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And look, those people that are behind all of that stuff, they're waiting for the answer.
Yeah.
So it's like, they, what I, for me, is I expect, like, if I've sent out a tender or, like, I've sent out, like, something to be priced,
yeah,
come back to me with all the information that I've asked for, because yeah, I've already listed it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I'll list it in my emails,
yeah,
or I'll have, like, a separate document that highlights, this is the expectation. Mm. When you send it back to me, yeah, I expect all of that information provided.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I can't sit around and read, like, 20 to 30 tenders. Like,
nah,
like, I'm not here to do that. Like, I've got to keep moving forward.
Yeah, on your projects, yeah.
So it's like, help me, help you.
Yeah.
If you want to do good,
yeah,
then provide all this info.
For sure. Do you see, are Fletcher's very, like, competitive with other builders? Like, is there a constant thing, like, we want to dominate, or we want to make sure we're doing the most amount of houses in New Zealand? Like, is there a real competition aspect within the management team?
I feel like, so, they're already, well, I guess, like, one thing is they're already dominating.
Yeah, for sure.
But the thing is like, for them, it's about ensuring the future profitability of the business.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily going to throw their name behind just anything.
Yeah, yeah.
They're pretty much positioning themselves to be, like, offering a premium product at, like, a good cost,
yeah,
but making sure that what they've put into that is covered.
Mm.
So I don't see them doing, like, stuff like what your group home builders are doing. I mean, Fletcher, yeah, Living doing their own stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's all stuff that they've acquired and they've been working on for a long time.
Yeah.
So they position themselves just to be a market leader who offers a product that everyone can, like, appreciate.
Yeah, it's massive, eh? Yeah. I mean, is there really a massive shortage of houses in New Zealand, do you think?
To be fair, I think there is and there isn't. I think, like, I've just moved to Te Aratu Peninsula.
Mean?
I think a lot of people just don't want to move out, or, like,
get lazy or stay in their bubble.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about the market to understand that, but I don't think it's that hard.
Mm.
Like, I've moved from the Mount, and it's hard for people to move to the Mount or Papamoa.
Yeah.
But it was easy for me. I've never had a difficult time. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like some people get a bit, how do we get accommodation? Family can't move, kids can't move.
Yep.
Like, that can be real tough, eh? I just want to go over more stuff in here. So obviously when you were predominantly reading these contracts and that was mainly for labor and subcontractor stuff.
Yep.
So Fletcher's own Carters? No?
It's Placemakers.
Placemakers, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can cut that one out.
I think it's like a 50-50 share.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it now. I haven't seen it, but yeah, historically that's what it's been.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to know markups on materials and stuff. Do you have any insights on how much money they make on materials?
Mm.
Well, I suppose they just get it at cost. They can get it a lot cheaper than every other builder.
You mean like Fletcher's? Like,
yeah,
themselves?
Like material packs?
Nah,
like,
not at all.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not from what I've seen.
Okay, cool.
I think, like, personally, they're still competitive.
Yeah.
But they're not just going to offer, like, a Fletcher-owned company,
yeah,
like, a cheaper rate.
Well, they just circulate money,
yeah,
like, they just own everything.
Yeah.
Like, what have they got? They've got the Reinforcing, Fletcher Living, Placemakers. Do they have a...
They've got, they own, Fletcher Steel, who has Diamond Structural.
Yeah.
They've also got Easy Steel.
Yeah.
They own Firth, they own, like, the supply of the cement.
Yeah.
They own, like, Laminex, who, like, give
That's
us,
right.
like, different things, and they've got Jib and all of that stuff, so... They've just bought that new sawmill.
Yeah.
They've got Clevercore.
Yeah.
So they've got if I was to put it, like, they've got a business model that works, and that's something that I would like to see other businesses work towards. There's all these complaints about, like, they control too much of the market, but they clearly do something right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know people are disgruntled with them, but I see that it works for them. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they're ticking all the boxes and passing laws and paying tax and still employing...
They've got people that do that.
Yeah. So, like, the account team would be huge managing all that. Have you worked on any Fletcher's projects outside of Auckland or just Auckland stuff?
Except
the Jib Factory. Yeah.
I'm currently lead QS on a project in Hamilton.
Okay.
And so I also worked on a project in Taupo.
Yeah.
And so there's like a travel aspect, and obviously with everything that's going on in Napier, there's discussions about that. So yeah, most definitely have worked outside of Auckland. The subcontractors that I have on site in Hamilton, they're all Hamilton based.
Yeah,
because it's
cheaper by the 100%. Time in Auckland subby builds and all the other stuff. Yeah,
I mean, like travel costs add up, you know, stuff. So it's just like working with who you can.
For sure.
So,
yeah. What's the stuff? What's going on in Napier down there? Obviously, there's a lot of new build stuff, demolition stuff.
Yeah, a lot of rebuild going on. Like, there's also like bridges going on because they've got to get all the infrastructure right. Because you can't like start like a rebuilding houses without having roads into the centres. Yeah. So it's kind of like there's a focus on that before anything else moves back.
Yeah.
It's quite sad to see. I've seen some like a...
Yeah, it's rough, eh?
Yeah, the reports that are coming out of there and stuff. And it's sad because the locals are kind of stuck and they've been stuck for a while now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's in New Zealand because I've been overseas and I've seen stuff. Like, it just doesn't move fast enough.
Nah.
It's crazy.
I think there's too much red tape. And everything, man, like just to get a standard house consented and... I think it takes too long. Like, it's the same set of drawings. A geotech signed off the land. Like, the soils are good. Like, why can they not pump that through?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, we paid it enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Do Fletchers have any, like, management over councils? Like, speed up times? Like, get stuff quick there?
Nah, it's still all the same, eh? Like, I think everyone would think that. Like, but there are a lot of people that... I think that there's a lot of people that actually they're more heavy-handed or strict when it comes to like Fletchers. I think because it's so big, they're like, "Oh, sweet, we'll
hold them up."
Yeah, 100%. Like even now, like it's kind of like working on a council job right now. Like they're not just like, "Sweet, you know what you're doing." Blah blah blah. It's still putting us through the same processes.
Yeah,
all the same procedures as everybody else.
Yeah, no shortcuts there for you guys at all. Do they have all those people in-house doing all their CCC applications, submitting stuff? Like, is it all in-house?
Yeah, so we've got, like, so in the team that I'm in, I'm a part of a commercial team of, like, I think there's, like, 8 QSs.
Yeah.
Commercial manager and then regional commercial manager. Yep. But we have an estimation team.
Yes.
We've got the bid writer. We've got the bid submission person. So there's they've got large scale teams. I think like Placemakers is in the same building.
Mm.
They've got like a whole level of estimators.
Just for Placemakers?
Yeah, that's crazy, working with Frame and Truss and stuff like that. So
yeah,
they're pretty on.
I wanted to get on something there, bro. Sorry, I'm making sure Brendan will cut this. I'm making sure I just get good relatable questions there.
Okay.
For building stuff. I just went blank there for a second. On like contractual stuff with builders, say for example you've got a real good team of builders, you get a good crew of like 5 or 10 guys that are doing a lot of labor only stuff. Is there any leeway, like if a company's been with you for say 6 months to a year, they've been delivering good quality, good stuff, is there any leeway if they're like tight on payment stuff, like you know it's just 20 of the month, like when you go hard on relationship stuff, is there any leeway to like small favors in that? There is?
Well,
so there are benefits
for like me, like 100%.
Yeah,
it depends the relationship you have.
Yeah,
like for me, it's about having the conversation.
Yeah.
Like if you are in trouble, like let me know.
Yeah.
Because what I've got to do has to go up.
Yeah.
I don't just tick a box and it's just like, yeah, sweet.
Sign off.
I've got to go talk to like, if it's on site, I want to chat to the project manager, see what he thinks. And then I've got to talk to like my boss, commercial manager, like see what he thinks. Try and come up with like a solution.
Yeah,
so like if you're hitting me on the day, I'm kind of like,
bro,
I can't help you. But if you're like, if you hit me up a couple of days earlier and you're like, I'm in a bit of trouble, like there's a bit of stuff going on, I'm willing to work with them.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see them go under.
Nah, because then that affects you guys as well.
Yeah,
slows you up. Yeah.
I've got to work with them to get the job done. So if that happens, I'm open to it, 100%.
Because I feel like there's a real bad stigma just against bigger companies and QSs that they're always trying to shaft the small guys.
Yeah.
But it's good to hear that, people, if you have a relationship with a QS, you can get some favours, which is nice.
Yeah, there's some good QSs up there. 100%. There's some good people, I think. Like,
Rapid QS is good, man.
Yeah. It's, I think it just takes conversation. Yeah, like the commercial team at Fletcher Construction on the Jib Factory, 100%, like that team was like a real relationship team.
Yeah.
We had there was me, the junior QS, intermediate QS, senior QS, and the commercial manager. And I never heard a silent day. There was always laughter. Subcontractors came in. They were laughing, cracking jokes. Like, it was constant. There were hard conversations that were had, but it was making a decision or creating a solution to move forward.
Yeah, man.
Because there was no point in like, okay, no, we can't help you.
Yeah,
it was about working together.
I suppose, yeah, because you guys would have, like, you guys would have huge, like, LDs on stuff, eh? If you're over, you're on daily penalties. So you're kind of looking at whatever you can do to get speed. Like, speed's important as well as price, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, so this is the practical completion date, or this is the completion date, blah, blah, blah. But, like, if you can move something forward and do something, you want to work towards that, because you obviously want to be like, sweet, well, this is the date you set as a client. Like, the client's like, this is when we expect you to do it, blah, blah, blah. And if we've got it, if we have it done early or earlier, they're like, sweet.
Yeah.
These dudes are onto it.
It's good, like, for you
guys. Let's work
as
with
well.
Them, eh? Yeah, 100%.
And like, say for, I've been a part of a contract down south in Wanaka where it was like, we were the builder. We had like a team of eight and we were doing 20 houses, labor only. And it was kind of, the structure from their company was general manager, QS and site manager, and I believe they were given a budget to build these houses. Okay. Whatever they came in under, they got a percentage to split that three ways.
Yep.
Do they have the same kind of setup, or is everyone just on a salary? Is there any like bonuses? Do they offer for QSs?
Personally, I'm not at a high level, I don't know.
Okay,
I'm
cool.
not high enough.
Yeah,
I'm just a little grunter.
No, that's all good. Yeah. No, I'd just love to know if that's like, what's, you know, what's the company. That's what I like, pushing on company culture, and is their bonuses, are there, you know, are they big on that stuff?
Yeah, so they offer like incentives. In terms of like, one of the biggest things that's mattered for me is I've paid for my study. So
that's big, man.
Yeah, which is, it's not a small cost.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge cost because they have like a fund that you can tap into for like stuff like that. And they pay for my study and they continue to pay for other stuff in terms of development. Same thing, like, they're pushing you for development and they're paying for those courses to go on and stuff. So they're investing, their incentive in that aspect is really good, and that's something I really appreciate.
So they must have they must really consider like staff turnover's low, longevity of staff, keeping 100%. People in the company.
I think they want to keep good people working within the business, because also there's a wealth of knowledge that walks out the door if they're like leaving.
Yeah, man.
So it's kind of like they work hard to retain that.
Yeah.
And in the commercial, the culture within a commercial team, it really varies. It depends. Like, it's very structured. Like, Fletcher's is structured as.
Yeah.
So you know what you're doing. They have outlines on what you should be doing.
Yeah.
They have like a database of information and step-by-step guides on how to do things.
That's crazy, yeah.
So you know what you're up to, and that's what they expect you to do.
Yeah, that probably just clearly out, like, that for them, the payoff is productivity.
Yeah.
Like, you're always on a step-by-step. You're not
100%.
What am I doing today?
Or
I've done this, what do I do next?
Yeah. If you have questions, like, it's like going into the database
and
looking at it and just understanding it.
Yeah.
And that's where I've learned to put a lot of my foundations, is like reading all of that information.
Yeah.
Because as soon as it happens, you know the answer.
Yeah.
Or you know what to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm still, for me, it's like I'm still learning a lot of stuff, and the job I'm on now, I'm learning heaps.
Yeah.
Because to go from like someone who was studying and a junior QS to now leading a project, so many different things that you've got to be across there.
Yeah, man. What would you say are a couple of key points for, like, say, you know, the builder 2 to 3 man team trying to win more work? How do they like impress QSs and impress bigger companies, group home builders, etc.?
Oh yeah, I think it's like there's this one story of a subcontractor who's working on our job at the moment. He walked into a group home builder's office in red bands, rugby shorts and a singlet.
Yeah.
And he won a contract off them.
Man.
He said, this is my business, this is what we do.
Yeah.
This is what we can do for you.
Yeah.
And he got the job. And to his credit, this subcontractor that I'm talking about, this dude is on when it comes to what he does.
Yeah.
And respect him and his business wholeheartedly. I think for me, it's about being able to build that relationship.
Yeah.
And it's trippy because he's a real people person too, but he's a typical tradie. Like he hasn't he knows all the mahi stuff,
yeah,
all the ground level stuff, and then it comes to other stuff, and he's just like, okay, I'll read it.
Yeah,
and
yeah, man.
We end up being on a Teams call 1 a.m. in the morning, talking about, okay, this is what it should be, blah blah blah. This is how it should be, and I'm willing to do that. It's about creating a relationship. And anybody that can come to me in like gumboots and like rugby shorts and a singlet and knows exactly what he's doing, I'm like, yeah,
sweet. That's impressive, eh?
Yeah, it is. 100%.
Is he a builder?
He runs a civil business in Hamilton.
Man. Yeah,
he's a good dude. Yeah. Ormsby Civil Construction.
Yeah, shout out, man.
Mark Ormsby, he's the man.
Yeah, it's good, bro. What would you say is what's the hardest subcontractor to nail down to get pricing? Like, what's the shortage in New Zealand?
To be honest, I think like the hardest one for me has been painters.
Painters.
I don't, like, it's just in terms of like a commercial aspect.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. They must be all way too busy, or no one wants to go into that trade.
Yeah, maybe there's not enough painters.
Yeah, I found that there's like a huge difficulty around that. But in terms of like builders, it hasn't been hard.
I feel like builders is actually quite competitive.
I believe so too.
I think it's competitive. Yeah. I reckon you're better off being a subby, man.
Yeah.
My twin brother's a plumber and gas fitter, and they're just in and out a day, 2 days, in and out, invoice. Like, it's, you know, builders have got to manage the whole project, start, you know, right from sale to negotiation to sell to organising all the bullshit, make sure your boys turn up, make sure the subbies turn up, clean up, keep the client happy. It's like, fuck, you need a full degree to do that.
Yeah, 100%.
It's hard. And that's from a residential aspect, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you, like, do you guys get a lot of downward pressure from your bigger clients that you're building for?
100%.
That must be horrible conversations.
Yeah. It's like, because I think I've learned a lot about that being on the project I'm on now.
Yeah.
That the client is there constantly, and the engineer to the contract, he is there as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's also what I've kind of learned is like, just understanding who they are, and because they're New Zealanders, they're true blue Kiwis, the way they operate isn't necessarily on a ground level. The clients, like, I still have like mouths to feed, I still have people to go home to.
Yeah.
Like, they're just wanting to have a good chat and understand where things are. But when I've been in some tense meetings, like in conferences, like, very tense.
Have you had to deliver bad news on your own, or is that more high level?
I think like I never shy away from delivering bad news.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily bad news. It's more like
disappointment.
Ownership and accountability. Like, hey, look, there's something that's happened here and I want to talk about it.
Yes.
Yeah, or if it's a variation and it's something that the client doesn't want to hear.
Yeah.
It's like justifying the variation and even at, I don't know if other QSs do it, but like when it comes to hardline conversations that have to be had, you have to do it.
Yeah.
There's no shying away from
it. You can't get around it, eh?
No. It's just like, if someone within our team has, putting it nicely, fucked something up, the conversation has to be had immediately, not to hold up anything on the program.
Yeah, man.
Because like, if it does, then like at least the client knows and we can work around it to try and mitigate any risk in terms of like cost implications.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, have the convo. And I think tradies, what I realise is they shy away from hard convos.
Man.
It's like they don't want to pick up the phone and be like, hey, I fucked this up. And I'm kind of just, I want to hear that. I'm like, okay, you've made a mistake. What do we have to do?
What's the solution?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What have you got in your head that you're not sharing with me? Because usually they've got a solution. The builder, the contractor, subcontractor, they've got a solution in their head, but they just don't want to have that convo.
Builders and tradies are smart people, bro. And 100%. They've always got it. Like you said, there's always a solution.
Yeah.
So, cool, here's the problem, but I've got a solution.
Yeah.
Easiest way to deal with it.
100%.
Yeah.
It's like, if I have to chase you for an answer, I'm like,
that's bad.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you know those next lot of townhouses I had? They're gone, man.
Yeah.
No, that's cool, man. Are you able, like, on a rates basis, what kind of stuff do you, like painters and plasterers, do you guys have rough square meter rates you're able to share?
Yeah, so I don't have any rates as such because a lot of them are already built up.
Built in, okay.
Estimation team, like yep. they have a resource list that they work off.
Yeah.
In terms of what they expect.
Yeah.
So they're like, the estimators will build up, they'll build up everything, and then what we get is we get like a spreadsheet with an allowable. So the allowed amount for that package, then we're kind of like, okay, yep. sweet. Like
you sell the packages.
Yeah. So it's like, cool. And then it's just like managing that as in terms of like, that's the budget, stick to the budget.
Yeah.
But if there are like rates, there are, I don't know like any particular rates off the top of my head.
No, that's all good.
I could find it if I had my computer, but yeah.
For example, if you can't meet a budget on rates,
yep.
is that a hard conversation to your head QS? Or is it pretty like...
Oh yeah, and now it's difficult. Like it's kind of like the first question is why?
Yeah,
and if you don't have the answer to the why, it's just like, well, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
like, if you don't already know the answer, like, I want to know. My boss now, particularly, very intelligent dude, very smart. He is so onto it contractually, everything.
What's his main answer? Negotiate harder or find more supplies?
He's just like, why? Understand why we can work on it, but make sure that we have the answers. Because then the first thing I'd be saying, because I'd be working out in my head.
Yeah.
Can I go to the client and say, actually, this is actually worth this because of this reason?
Yeah.
And if the subby can, like, substitute, if he can inform me why, and then also if I do my own diligence and I understand then further, I'm like, okay, shit, the methodology for doing this is actually like this, so it actually does constitute this cost, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, sweet, but... Most of the time, the answer's why.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Nah, that's all good. Any more builder-related questions? Are you involved with, like, the back costing of projects as well? Or is that more high-level stuff? Like, you kind of get the packages, sell them out, make sure that they all hit budget.
Yep.
Do you see any back costing stuff?
So, what do you mean, like, by back
so, like, when a project's finished, are you involved with, cool, this project made 10% margin, we lost money on this? Do you see any of that?
Yeah, so, I'm surprised at, like, certain levels that they don't do, like, cost reports throughout.
Yeah.
So, like, monthly cost reporting is something that is done, like, throughout the project.
Yeah.
So, you can track, so, like, what I was saying before is, like, I manage cost and revenue, so, like, the costs on like during that period, like I should know about.
Yeah.
All of the invoices that come in, we're able to like draw that out of the software that we have, input it into this report, and it'll spit out a report that tells us exactly where we are.
Oh, I see.
And in that report, it'll highlight, because there's, I don't know if different levels use cost codes.
Yeah.
So you use cost codes for different, like, for different packages or different trades.
Okay, cool.
So each trade is allocated a cost code. So as soon as they invoice us with their cost code, we know exactly what it's going to be.
I see, yeah.
And so we track the cost that way. And then at the end of the project, there is like back costs that are done.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the terminology we use, but then it's understanding at the end of the project, once there's like final completion, all of that stuff, then there is someone that is going through all of those costs, which will probably be me, I'm unsure. But yeah. So there's managing costs right through the project, and then at the end it's understanding where we are, and when you get to the end of the project you should actually know where you are in terms of the cost of the whole project.
Okay, cool, man. Last question, any young QSs wanting to go into QSing, would you advise them to do studies or go work for a company and maybe just learn as you go?
I think if you're like somewhat on the mental spectrum like me, I reckon study and work
at the same time.
I think it gives you like valuable experience. But I would, just from my own experience, for anybody that's wanting to walk into QSing, but I'd say go study first.
Get some understanding.
100%.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people say like, oh, you can learn how to be a QS on the job, and you can.
Yeah.
But if you, what I would understand is like, and with study, they try to get you to understand on a varied basis.
Yeah.
So right across the board, it's like generalized, like you learn some stuff about being a PQS, a professional QS, or a contract QS, or a subcontract QS.
Yeah.
So you like learn a raft of different things. And then once you've, that just creates like a base.
Yeah.
It creates like a base for you to work on going forward. And then once you're done studying, walk into a job, you already know what NZS 3910 is.
Yeah.
Or you know what the CCA is. Like, you already know, like, the basis for all of that stuff. So when when questions are being asked on site, like, oh, do you know what this is? You've got, like, a base core of information you can go off.
Yes. Sweet.
But either way, if you work and study, sweet.
Yeah.
I'd probably suggest going to do, like, a building apprenticeship. Because
builders
are on, bro.
Man, they make the best QSs,
100%.
Man. Seriously. So smart.
One of my mates now who's, like, he's a builder, and we started studies together. He is so on to it. Yep. He's really good. And he's just started work for a commercial company.
QSing?
Yeah, QSing. Man. I think, like, building, and I don't know why people don't go into trades. Even myself, I thought about it, like, I should have gone into a trade to fall on.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you want to be a great QS, I reckon learning those skills, either studying or doing, like, a building apprenticeship and seeing it through, I think it's mean.
Yeah, 100%. Is there a shortage of QSs from what you see?
100%.
Good ones?
Most definitely. I think, like, I've only... the team that I'm in now, I'm one of two Kiwis. And the team is, like, all internationals right to the top. So it's just a highlight that there's, like, a huge shortage. And I think it's because no one really knows what a QS does.
Yeah.
Or no one really looks at it as, like, a career that they want to go to. I did a careers day at Tauranga Boys High.
Yeah.
And all these students came in and they had no idea what a QS did. And
I didn't even really know until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I was just doing it for our business, but I didn't know I was a QS.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm just trying to win building projects, man.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think that's right there. Like, it just highlights, because you're a builder.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't know what a QS was or what a QS does.
Nah.
Now there's a drive to have a QS because there's a huge value for that within businesses.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I think we need more. But I personally think, like, if builders decide that they want to become QSs, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah, 100%, man. Nah, that's good, bro. We'll leave it at that. Thanks for coming in, bro. Much appreciated. Legend, man. Awesome.